Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. And MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tenkata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tenkata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tenkata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tenkata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tenkata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TenkataFabrics.com.
Hey guys! In case you haven't heard, Fire Department Chronicles funny guy Jason Patton has been busy with another project. But this time, he's using his sense of humor to help all of us out.
Hey guys, you know that mole on my arm? Recently, it started looking kind of different.
Yeah, kind of looks like your mom's meatloaf.
Yeah, but it used to look more like a cheeseburger.
It's more like a chili cheeseburger.
No, that looks like my dog humping a couch.
Dude, what's with you always with a dog humping a couch?
Should you get that thing checked out?
No, I don't think so.
Hey, Chuck. Quick question. Are we first responders or last responders?
First.
Right. So when you have a subtle and persistent health change, like a mole growing into the shape of a couch-humping cheeseburger, you should probably get that looked at.
By more than just these guys.
What's wrong with these guys?
Because it could be an early sign of cancer.
Should I get this checked out?
Ah! Oh! Yes. Absolutely.
I'm gonna go now.
It's a nibble.
It seems bad.
Here in the fire service, we can debate every subject matter to death. Right now, what it is that's causing our high rates of cancer is a big one. So I ask that you leave OSB and PFAS out of your vocabulary for a whole minute and just listen to Jason talk about the awareness side of cancer. Enjoy. Welcome to 5 After Midnight. It's a new show where we talk about the things the way you would around a sleep-deprived kitchen table when you've run 5 or more calls after midnight, your brain feels half gone, and you and your crew have absolutely no filter. Just pure honesty. The goal of this series is to kick around the small things that really aren't so small and have a big impact in the way our firehouses function. My name is Stephanie. I'm genuinely not an expert at anything. I'm just here to ask the sometimes awkward questions. Enjoy.
You've come too far, don't let this slip away. Fade out like they said we would.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate this since you seem to have quite the packed schedule these days. Popping up everywhere.
I appreciate you having me on.
Doing every little
thing.
Yeah,
I appreciate you having me on. It's definitely always interesting.
I'm guessing it's you that probably makes it interesting. The main reason I reached out to you and asked you to come on the show today is because you have recently partnered with the wonderful company called Detect Together and talking about cancer, which is phenomenal to have someone like you with your very unique and great sense of humor tackling such a, for lack of a better word, horrible subject matter. It's something we shy away from because it's absolutely terrifying and hits close to home for all of us. But before we get into that, let's actually back up a little bit and talk about you. Long walks on the beach. What's the way that you pass your 5 minutes of free time every month?
Yeah. 5 minutes is about right. Honestly, I love working out. I love working out. I love spending time with my wife and my daughter. It's always fun. Just, you know, one of the biggest things that I've found enjoyment in recently is when I wake up in the morning, not touching my phone. like trying to do 10 minutes of just laying there, or even just brushing my teeth, or doing, you know, stuff like that, just trying to kind of disconnect from the universe, because otherwise I'm on there 24/7. But yeah, I'd say number one stress reliever is just a good workout session, even if it's 25 minutes. I freaking love it.
What got you into the fire department in the first place?
Sheer luck, to be honest. I was a mechanic, and I was an atrocious mechanic, and I could get it done, but God knows if it was coming back. But I had a buddy of mine. He said, "Hey man, I just went to EMT school. I absolutely loved it. It was a blast. You should try it out." And I was like, "All right, cool." And where I'm at in Florida, you at the time you had to be at a minimum of an EMT to get into a fire station, and even now you have to be an EMT just to go to fire school. So I went to EMT school, fell in love with it, loved everything about the human body, all the stuff, and then just kind of the next progression was paramedic school, and then went into fire school. And fire school is where you really find that testosterone driven, like, you know, animalistic old, like,
that's a very accurate description of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah,
well, when what made you start making these videos? Because I found out about you, and you and I talked about this on the phone a couple weeks ago, when you were still posing as an Australian guy, discovering Florida and the fire service. And started making videos as that, and we were all wondering what in the hell an Australian guy was doing in Florida. Nothing about it made sense. You know, we figured maybe he went down there for the alligators and the big snakes, and that felt the most like Australia. I don't know. But I found you years ago when you were doing those videos. And what year did you start all that?
That's so funny. 2016 is roughly 2015, 2016 is when it all started. And, you know, it started off, like you said, very raw, Australian, horrible accent. One of my greatest memories when I was still doing that accent was reading the comments and watching people from, you know, South Africa saying there's no way this guy's from South Africa.
Watching actual Australians. England.
Yeah. And like Australians are like, he's not from Australia. There's no, he's got to be from England. And people were being like, well, what are you talking about? Like, and it was just really funny because I do absolutely atrocious accents. But yeah, it started off there just, you know, messing around, hunting for different people, different positions in the fire and EMS. And the one that really took it off was when we hunted for the paramedic via their natural mating call, which is bitching.
I do remember that one. That one hit a little too close to home, not going to lie. I felt attacked personally.
You know, the greatest part about all this stuff, anytime anyone's ever had a problem with something that I've done or said or anything in the videos, I'm not attacking other people. I'm literally talking about myself, because 90% of the time, whatever the video's about, I've either done it, seen it, or I am it. So it's typically something to do with me personally.
Well, it works because it just, everything you do, you can tell you've taken it from some moment in the firehouse that we have all seen at some point in our career, and you build on it, and that's why it works. It's we all recognize it, and you take it and you just, you move it up to another level of sarcasm and expounding on it, but it works.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely put you on this map of now everyone knows who you are. Everyone can recognize your face. You just say, you know, the bald headed guy, Florida, fake accent. And I think most people instantly know who you are. And then you launched into your fire department coffee, which I'm sure took up the remaining mm-hmm. 10 minutes of your month. And I'm guessing you didn't start doing the cancer stuff because you found 2 spare minutes in your year. I'm guessing there's probably a little bit more of a personal reason why you decided to start doing this cancer awareness.
Yeah. You know, I actually work with a company called, or foundation called, Heroes Cup, and they do a big thing up in Marlborough, Massachusetts, and it's like the biggest hockey tournament for first responders, and it just absolutely incredible. And I happened to be approached by the team from Detect Together, and they said, we want to do something together. And I said, man, I'd love to. Obviously, or maybe many people probably don't know this, but my father passed away from cancer about 8 years ago, and it was a super tragic thing to watch. And not just from like his side, it's very tragic to watch the man of your, you know, the man that you've grown up watching and being the strongest dude around. And he really was, he was a general contractor and he, you know, was bigger than I am. And, but that wasn't the hardest part. It was watching, my mom, man, my mom, they were married 33 years when he died. And I'm watching everything that my mom and dad had worked for, all their financials, they had done such a good job saving and all that stuff, and just watching all of it get blown right out the window because of, you know, just what it costs to treat cancer. And then in the end, he dies. So it was very personal to me. And it was one of those things that, like, he just didn't catch because he didn't have any signs or symptoms. It was renal cancer. He would have never known. He probably had a little blood in his urine or something like that, but just passed it off as, you know, whatever. And he didn't catch it until it was too late. So, yeah, I just think early detection is such a huge thing. And that's what Detect Together is pushing so hard.
I didn't, disclaimer, I didn't just bring you on the show because of the Detect Together program. That was how you and Cancer Awareness being a project together came into my radar. But also as a firefighter, to talk about the fire side of it and how we as firefighters approach it and treat it. I don't know what your thoughts on this are, but I feel that not necessarily the new 5 years or less generation, but I feel like the 10 years, 7 years and up generation kind of has this mentality of, I'm going to get cancer. You know, I've seen so many people get cancer. It's in the cards at some point. So I'm just going to take it day by day. And when I get it, I get it. And I think there's so much resistance and struggle towards, no, yes, there's a high probability that we're going to get cancer, but there are things that we can change and that we have to change. Paying attention to, oh, go ahead.
I'm agree, like 100%. And look, are you going to get cancer? I don't know. Like I think if you are mentally preparing to get cancer because, or have a higher risk of cancer because of the job that you have, then that's fine with me. But the problem is that it's not a, I'm going to get cancer, so let me try to do these things to prevent it from happening if possible. It's screw it, I'm going to get cancer, I'll just do whatever I want. And it's like, man, I you know, as humans in general, but especially as firefighters, we, for some reason, if we don't experience it directly, then we don't really care what the end result is. And I don't mean that like we're like mean or cold hearted to other people. We are very empathetic as a people. But for some individually or personally, we just seem to be like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'll just deal with it when I get it. Like, damn, bro, the cancer, like, no one's ever gotten cancer and been like, you know, this is a great test, just to who I am as an individual. It's like, this sucks. I'd rather not have this. So why not catch it early? Even if you might get it, you have a higher chance of getting it. You can still catch it really early. You got it, just like you said you were going to, but you can get rid of it and then, you know, live that wonderful life you want to live.
I don't know how you are about it, but I'm the worst about, right now the hot topic is gear. So PFAS and gear. And I find myself, when those runs come out and I'm in the middle of working out or whatever, I find myself reaching for my turnout pants to throw on instead of reaching for coveralls. And it's those habits like that are the tiniest habits that we've been doing for years. But now the science is coming out and saying, you know what, just that 25 extra seconds of effort is, you know, could possibly make that big difference. And
I think that's why it's important to wear your pants, you know, your regular pants, underneath that if you can. But I'm with you on that. I'm just as bad, you know, and the PFAS thing, I think, is a big deal. But I think that is also a scarecrow in all of this. I think that the PFAS is a big deal, and we should address it immediately because we have to. But there's also PFAS in everything that we're wearing. Right. So
exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, it is what it is. But the big things are just like preventative stuff, like, you know, putting the exhaust tips or whatever the heck they're called when you pull into your bay, like that kind of stuff.
Throwing the climal vent on the
Yes, exactly. And then, dude, overhaul. That is such a big deal. Like, people
don't make me.
This is like, you know, like
staying on air during overhaul.
Yeah. And I get it, man. Trust me, I get it. There's something about ripping your mask off and going in there and ripping shit apart and just being like, this is awesome, you know, and like you're like, and you know, being with the guys and the girls and enjoying those moments. It is very
carnal. You're right.
Yeah, it is. And it's cool. But at the same time, I personally, especially because those are unburned particles at that point that are just floating around the air like crazy. And, you know, at that point, like how much are we actually inhaling? And then even as a driver, I can tell you the most smoke I've ever inhaled as a firefighter was as a driver. Because we get on a fire and the first 10 minutes of my life on a fire is pulling everything off the truck that I need and running around and pulling the pre-connect for my firefighter. And then, you know, running the supply line down and all this stuff and setting up fans if I need to, or pulling out any kind of stuff to remove bars. And that's the most smoke I've ever inhaled was on a fire running around because it was blowing directly on me. And I didn't have anything on to protect myself. So it's all positions.
No, that's a darn good point. Another big thing that's hitting us is decon. Decon's the latest and greatest, because it makes it sound like a fad, and it's not. But I recently had someone who was pretty funny telling me, well, you know, I'm not going to go take that hot and steamy shower right after a fire because I'm going to clean up all this stuff and I'm just going to get dirty again. I said, well, that's perfect, because then you get to take two hot and steamy showers and sweat all that crap out of your system. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a matter of change those micro tweaks of just sit down, study your science. Yeah. You know, you decide for yourself where the science is on OSB and PFAS, mm-hmm. because those are such hotly debated things. That's not what we're talking about today, but stuff like decon. I mean, just the way we approach it and say, it's already in my system. Why bother? I just spent the past 2 hours exposed to it. Well, no, you know, change that mentality. I think that's the struggle for us.
Yes. But it'll always be that way again. And I don't think it's just a firefighter thing. I think it's a humanity thing. It's like, if it's not directly in my face, that I either don't believe it or it's not going to happen to me, that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, one of the big things is when we're getting out of these fires, you know, for our department, when you get out of the fire, if you're on fire attack or search and rescue, whatever, but you've been in the hot zone at any point in time, you have to go over to the driver, and the driver has a cold zone completely set up, and they decon you, gross do it. They do a nice gross decon with a brush and a hose and some soap, and they get all the stuff off of you.
You're making it sound spa-like there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called the make it to retirement spa.
Yeah, not the inch and 3/4 of the face.
I mean, we'll do it if I have to. You know, like that's the big thing, man. We get everything off you just so you can, you know, get back in the truck. And dude, I'm telling you, that, like I said, from the first day I went to fire school, there is just something animalistic about firefighting. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love EMS for the life-saving portions of it. And you obviously save lives as a firefighter as well. But, you know, there's just something about both sides of the job that are so cool to me. But man, at the end of the day, I want to make it to retirement. Like, I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor and not sleeping and destroying my hormone levels. Like, I want to, that's what I want to do. And I think everyone should hopefully feel that way.
It's funny the way you're talking about fire school. I became a paramedic when I was 18, 19 years old. And just firefighters were just the dumbest of the dumb to me. I wasn't going to be a firefighter. And I ended up getting hired by a combination department. And I remember that day in fire school where they take you in your first burn, I sat there and I stared at it and I thought, holy shit, this is fun. And I still told guys that I thought, you know, I only want to be a paramedic, but in terms of the fire side, it hooked me the first time I dragged a hose line and just having to sit there and have a personal struggle with yourself and say, no, you know, shut up and keep working. That was just the most fun and the biggest challenge I'd ever had. So
yeah,
it is. It's animalistic, male, female. It doesn't matter. It's kind of funny.
It doesn't matter. There's again, it's something that you're driven to. And I, you know, we of course for all eternity will kind of bust chops about EMS and everything, but I think EMS is incredible as well. There's just something about, you know, showing up on a call and you know, someone's, you know, in cardiac arrest, or you know, or we've had some pretty insane traumatic ones recently, you know, and like there's just something about showing up on these calls, and these people are literally having the worst day of their lives, and you don't want them to experience it, but you're able to rectify it, and you're able to hopefully make their day better. And I mean, I think that's why we all get into it, and there will always be the firefighter versus cops and cops versus, you know, EMS and EMS versus firefighters, because I think that's just, it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. That's just the way it'll always be, you know?
You put it so politically nicely. But no, it is true. It's and we can edit this story out, but it's funny. We had just the weirdest trauma the other night. Guy fell out of nowhere. Wasn't sure if he had a AAA. But he had then ended up having a big head trauma because he was on a blood thinner, and the end of the call, we ended up taking one of the firefighters off the engine. By the end of the call, we were covered in puke. It was 3 a.m. and just the three of us looked at each other, and it just, you know, we've been on fires, we've done all kinds of stuff together, but it was one of the most unifying, funny and tiring moments of our life, just all being covered in everything, plus yeah. It being a really medically difficult call. It is unifying in a different way that fire is unifying.
It is. And I think there's just something about both sides of the job that bring people together, whether it is EMS or fire, and then hopefully, you know, both of them together. But yes, but it's the struggles, like, and that's what makes this job so incredible, is that if it was a linear upward movement at all times, that it just wouldn't be that journey that you look forward to in the 20 or 30 years that you're in this business. And I've said every time someone asks me, like, why do I do what I do? I got into it because I enjoyed the passion. I enjoyed the knowledge. I enjoyed learning about my body and you know, how to save and help people. But I've stayed for the brotherhood and the sisterhood that I've gained within my departments. And if people don't believe that's the real reason, go to a department where morale is shit. Just hang out there and watch how many people run in and out of there. Obviously, financials is obviously a big thing as long as you're getting paid well. But if you go to a place where the people are treated poorly, everyone there's a bunch of scumbags, then you'll see how quickly people will move in and out of there. I don't care how good the money is.
It's definitely something I've seen firsthand in my career. And it's true. If the brother and sisterhood isn't cultivated, and if it isn't celebrated, if the attitude is just a firehouse is a place of employment,
yeah,
people are gone. You're going to struggle to recruit. You're going to struggle to retain. You're going to struggle to everything, because people looking in are going to see that. That's going to bleed outwards.
100%. So, yeah.
100%. Well, detect together, learn it, do it, go get checked.
Yes. Yes.
Thank absolutely. You for, thank you for doing this. Honestly, it just is a, like I said earlier, it's a topic that we all kind of shy away from, because when we're not accepting it and being macho about it, we're busy being terrified about it. And it's just such a wonderful program that is basic, which is what we need. We don't need something complicated. We need someone coming in saying, hey, here are three things to memorize. Keep an eye on them. And it's just great that you've paired with them to teach it, because we're going to click on your videos anyway. So this is a good one to click on for our safety and health. And I really appreciate it.
No, and I appreciate you saying that. And listen, Detect Together was incredible. They not only allowed me to be a part of it, they brought in an incredible outside company to write the scripts. And then they allowed me to have my thoughts on it. They gave me some creative direction, allowed me to change some of the verbiage and stuff like that, because, you know, in the end, the goal was to make this as pliable and understandable to firefighters as possible. Because look, the fact is that guys or girls, I don't care what what you have between your legs. We all think the same way in the fire service and EMS. Like, it's just like, once you go in there, your brain erases and you restart with the same brain as everybody else. And they were very, very cool about all of that. And I thought that was very cool. And then they made it really, really simple. It's like, I don't know if you've seen the things that they hang up, but like, we got them hanging in our shower and they're like, hey, you're
grab yourself by the balls was definitely my favorite.
Yeah. What R says, hey, you're touching your balls anyways. You might as well make sure that they're even. I'm like, this is great, man. You do. You're like, all right. You just judge my, I love it, man. I think it's so good. I think it's so
awesome. I put in for one of the firehouse kits. I haven't gotten it yet, but I did get to preview what was there. So I said, my guys are definitely going to be hanging this up. If they get the chance to put something like that on their wall, they're absolutely going to do it. So you guys truly went into firefighter humor when they put that packet together. So well done.
Thank you. Yeah, that was not me. That was very much Detect Together and their team. And just, you know, again, investing in what will actually penetrate the market of firefighters. And I tell you right now, no one's making money on that stuff. Like, they're not making dollars or anything off of any of this stuff. So it's very cool to see that people are literally doing this for the specific reason of helping firefighters. And I think that's so cool.
We actually are doing, our home local is doing a webinar with them tomorrow, and they've just been so easy to work with, so responsive, very helpful. They're actually tailoring something to the females in our department because October Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So they went and they did that for us, and they work anything you ask them to do, they will do. So you're right. They're not financially gaining from this, and they're really there to help us. So,
which I think is great, because typically it's not like that. So thank you.
No, it's true. You reach out to a hospital or something like that, and they're normally not firefighter as friendly. So this being specifically aimed at us is night and day difference. Definitely thank you for coming on board and just changing the stigma of having the conversation and watching out for each other and watching out for our own health. It's a night and day difference having one of our own come in, not bringing the science debate into it, just bringing the, hey, let's live longer side into it.
Yeah. You know what? When it comes down to it, just the end goal is to make it to retirement. You worked hard enough, might as well make it there and enjoy it. Have a nice long retirement and get some money out that you put in.
Amen. To check out the work Jason's doing with Detect Together, go to detecttogether.org. Ask them about the webinars that they're willing to do for your department and check out the firehouse kits they have with humorous posters that talk about screening yourself for cancer.